Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. We're always bringing in people who are doing cool things, sharing their stories. I gotta admit, I'm always a little hesitant when you got comedians, improv folks, because the host of the show always ends up being the target. So you gotta be careful.
As long as you behave, you'll be all right.
We'll be all right.
You'll be safe. Yeah, man.
Afion Crockett, comedian, actor, producer, doing all kinds of things.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, man. I like what you've done with the place.
Right. We have. So I'm sharing the story of behind the scenes. I mean, it's interesting. This was our supply closet.
Nah, but that goes to, you know, the ingenuity of, I'll say it, black people.
Right.
Okay? We're going to figure it out. Okay, yeah. You give us a pig, we're gonna make some chitlins out of it.
There's been a lot of figuring it out.
Yes, indeed.
So we're now 18 months or so in. So appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's interesting starting there, and it's completely off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. But the biggest challenge in doing this show was getting folks to come in and have the discussions and kind of sit down.
Right.
When you're making the decisions to do that kind of thing, because you don't have to do lot of this kind of stuff. You got millions of followers on your own promotional outlet on social media.
Right.
When you're making the decisions, what makes you decide to do them?
To come sit down with you?
Not just me in general, but different shows.
I mean, when we're doing like a comedy tour or a venue, right, they have their contacts and who are their credible pool of press outlets.
Okay.
And so, you know, once it's on the list and once my agency is sending it to me, I'm like, all right, yeah, cool. And when I'm in a local city, I like to sit down with, honestly, I like to sit down with who's moving the culture there. So okay. That's what makes it worthwhile for me.
Credible was
no
the
doubt.
Key.
No, of course.
But I feel like someone like you could sit down with somebody even if they weren't. Like that would be the wrong person
I
to pick
could,
a fight with.
But I wouldn't.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because everyone now that has a phone, which is 7 billion people, everyone thinks that they're a journalist now and they want to have, they have a podcast. And I get DMs all the time that I never open, but I can see the message. Like, hey man, love to have you on my podcast. And they have like 20 followers. Now, that's not to say that these people won't be whoever, you know, like large publications or large hosts or whatever in the future. But right now, it's just not the time. Timing is everything.
Right.
Because there was a time in my career when I would run up to people and say, hey man, give me a shot. Give me a chance. And that wasn't the time. So I looked crazy to them, and I didn't take it personal. But at the end of the day, they can't do anything for me because, for one, I'm green. I don't really know what I'm doing.
Right.
All I have is a bunch of passion and unrefined talent. That talent has to be refined, and it has to be, you know, it has to be put in a place where you can harness it for good and for you know, money.
You so use your voice for good is actually our theme. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to put in the work, as you said. So
you
that's kind of the
work.
Message. Put in the work, put in the grind. I mean, you're still putting in the work even at this point
oh, yeah.
in your career.
I feel like I'm just getting started.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's because I wake up with fresh legs every day. I don't wake up thinking about my resume. Because the resume can actually weigh you down.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Think about that, right? They tell you if you're, you know, in an accident, like say you're on a cruise ship, right, and it's going down, don't try to grab all of your luggage.
Right.
Because you're going to sink.
Yeah.
You're going to sink trying to swim with all of your belongings. So leave that stuff there and start fresh.
I like it.
So I wake up every day like with
ready
that mentality.
To grind.
Yeah.
All right. Take us back a little bit because we're talking about this kind of walk through the success and you're continuing on that path, doing research and looking into still, because I was on your Instagram, still a hip-hop dancer.
Yep.
You know, still somebody who does that. You got started pretty young. Like, how'd the career get started?
Talent shows, you know what I mean? My parents would take me and my brother to whatever talent show was in town. We would win a lot of them. A lot of cash prizes, at the time, it was like $25, $50, but that was everything to us. Or a trophy, you know, to win a dance contest. Something that you practice in your living room, bedroom, and you take it to a live stage in front of a crowd, and then you actually win when you're up against other people who did the same type of practicing. That's the first bit of confidence that you need, right? And so that's what I needed. That was the boost that gave me the confidence to be able to stand on a stage and know that the audience was probably going to like what I was doing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then in the 90s, when Def Comedy Jam was the biggest show in the world, I wanted to be on it. You know what I mean? And I just was like, I don't know how I'm going to get on this show, but I'm going to start trying to do comedy. I'm going to mix it with my dance talent. And that was my path. I set out to get on Def Comedy Jam because I figured if I can make it there, I can do anything.
Def Comedy Jam was tough. Def Comedy Jam is like the Apollo. Like, don't.
And I
be
did the Apollo.
What you wish for.
I did the Apollo in 92 and did Def Jam in 95. So Apollo was my breeding ground. Me and my dance crew, we went on Apollo and they loved us on there. So again,
right.
I was like, we didn't get booed off. We didn't win because they gave it to a gospel singer, that competition. But they stood up for us and was clapping and they loved what we did. So I was like, wow, I just came to New York. A kid from North Carolina just came to New York City, Harlem, at the Apollo on 125th Street and got that crowd to stand up and clap and cheer. So it was a battery in my back.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because as dancers, comedians, the Apollo could be tough.
Yeah.
You mentioned the gospel singer. I feel like black people won't boo the gospel singer. Because we feel like...
Look, if you singing a Fred Hammond song off-key, they're going to boo you.
I don't know. I feel like it's in us. Like, people start singing gospel, and we're like, oh, all right, baby.
Well, you're not booing going. God. You're booing the misrepresentation of God. So get your butt off the stage, man.
Standing up, people stood up for you at the Apollo.
Yeah.
You do Def Comedy Jam. You continue to grow. Which one of those was the big break? You got the feeling at Apollo. Mm-hmm. When did you go, all right, this isn't a feeling, this is a career?
Honestly, I got to give credit to Nick Cannon with Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not supposed to be talking about this stuff because of the strike. So yeah, I can't talk about none of this.
I can talk about the show, but so it was actually getting on the shows that did it.
Getting on the shows to make me feel like I was in the right direction, heading in the right direction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you're doing, it's interesting because we edit around this because Shirley Ralph was just here and we had a similar discussion about what you can and can't
talk about right now.
So it's interesting. We casually have, and we've had guests on who have mentioned the strike that's taking place right now.
Yeah.
People are out. T.I. was just here and he's on tour doing comedy. Some of the guys who were with him were on tour doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They said that it has allowed them the kind of downtime, unfortunately, gotten back in touch with some of the other ways to get out there and go on tour. Was that part of the reason you're doing comedy? I mean, you never stopped doing comedy.
Yeah, I never stopped doing comedy. Comedy is, I did for a period of time, but since I've been back for the last 8-9 years, I haven't stopped doing it. So, yeah, comedy. Look, black people are always on strike in Hollywood. Let me just say that. They don't hire us often, as often as they would like to make it seem like they hire us. So to have ingenuity and figure out other ways of making money and other ways to be creative, that's always been my thing. I never wait for Hollywood to give me an opportunity. I'm always creating my own opportunities. So this is just a Friday for me. It's nothing different. You know
but
what I mean?
It is a fight then standing up for the fact that the industry needs to change. The industry needs to open up those doors.
Yeah, it definitely needs to change way beyond what this strike is fighting for. There's a lot of changes that the industry needs to make. If we'll ever see them or not, I don't know. But yeah.
So you talk about ingenuity. You talk about, I've seen your Instagram page. You talk about all the different stuff you're doing. You're producing stuff now independently. Nick Cannon was somebody who gave you an opportunity to go out there and expand. In seeing that and doing that, do you feel the responsibility to be that person for other people?
Yeah. And again, something I can't talk about, but I have some. Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm in the realm of providing platforms for other people to do their thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it Impressions that got you started in comedy? That's what a lot of people know
you for. Yeah, Impressions is what gave me the confidence to stand on stage in front of Def Comedy Jam and in front of an audience, period, a black audience specifically, right? Because I got started in the black community, in the black comedy clubs, the Black Night, right? And I have to make that distinction because in the 90s when Def Comedy Jam was a thing, it was the black audience, the black fans, that made us celebrities. they didn't care that whether we were polished as much as, you know, other TV shows or other comedians. They cared about, man, I just like this dude. So that's why you got the Cedric the Entertainers and all the Steve Harveys and all those guys, because not only were they were already funny, and Bernie Mac, right? But they reminded you of an uncle or a cousin, or, you know what I mean? And black people invest in that. Black people invest in family. So that's where I got my start. And to be able to impress black people, you gotta be funny. And so for me, being able to do impressions of Bernie Mac and Chris Rock and these different people, it just gave me a boost to say, oh, I could do this.
It's interesting because I mentioned to you Cedric the Entertainer was here, and he went all the way back to talking about the Kings of Comedy back in the day when they did that tour and had ownership of it in a lot of ways. It was their thing. And he said not only did that help him grow, and I'm hearing some of that from you, but it also established, this is my community. This is, you know, who I'm going to serve for the rest of my career, because they're here with me as I'm going forward.
Well, they don't leave you. The community doesn't leave you. And you have to give them the, you know, you have to service them correctly. You have to service them correctly and keep that core sacred.
Responses to your impressions. I'm always curious. We've all seen Jay-Z. We've seen quite a few of them. And I know that that's not what you focus on most of your show anymore, because you're continuing to evolve. Anybody ever just get an attitude over the impersonation? They've all been cool with it?
Everybody's been cool with it. It's been a fun journey, because I think if you listen to what I do when I do the impression, I'm actually paying homage. Even if I'm making fun of the person, I'm still paying homage to them. So they know that about me at this point, to the point where some have asked me, how come you haven't done an impression of me? You know what I mean? So they respect the fact that I'm one of the guys that can really depict them in a way that is favorable.
Is it a fraternity? Y'all all get, I mean, go on your page, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, who's in a wheelchair right now.
Right.
What's up with, just from running a race?
Yeah,
that's
ran a race.
That's your friend, right?
Yeah, that's my guy. He outdid himself on this one. And now he's in a wheelchair for a little bit. So, you know.
But just for running.
He'll be all right.
Okay.
That's Kevin Hart, man. He's a mini superhero.
Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Cedric the Entertainer, all folks who are, you know, on social media, they're your people. In real life, are y'all that tight-knit, got each other's back kind of
fraternity? I wouldn't say we're tight-knit. Like, these aren't people that I speak to every day, but there is a respect level when we see each other that's everlasting. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I mean, I can get any one of those guys on the phone. Like, we're all cool. But again, I don't fake like I'm best friends with anybody. Yeah. But there is a lot of respect, and they're, these guys are my heroes. These are the guys I look to. Like, even though as much as I joke about Kevin Hart, it's undeniable what he's been able to accomplish. So yeah, he's somebody I even though he's younger than me, I look up to him. I admire her.
I'm sorry. The obvious joke.
I know.
And we're not friends.
So I look up to him if I'm laying down on my back. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But he's definitely somebody that you gotta look at as you know, he's a pioneer. He's broken records in this comedy business. Chappelle as well. Like, they're people to aspire to be. Like,
tell us about the tour. So you're going around. We're in Philly, but we're also airing nationally. You're going all over the place.
Yeah.
Saw some of your clips. The fun part for me is you sitting down just talking to the audience, going back and forth. Be careful what you wish for.
Right.
But what are people going to see when they come see your show?
You come and see me talk about life in a real way, and you got to get involved, because I'm talking about things that people in the audience feel a way about, because I might be talking about you or something that you do. And most people's reaction when you speak something true to them is to defend.
Okay.
Is, you know, they want to defend if it sounds too close to home, you know. And I have to remind them, I said, well, I don't know anybody in here personally. So if you feel a way and you want to yell out and defend yourself, you just told me that what I'm saying is true.
Right.
And true to you specifically. So I tend to stay on those people that yell out. And
so the message is,
yeah, you might want to shut up, right? Because I'm really good at this.
So it's performance, it's interaction, it's just a whole.
Yeah, it's storytelling, it's performance, interaction, it's all of it. It's singing songs. Like, I talk about music a lot because music is a big part of my life as well. But yeah, it's a full package, bro.
Can't talk about some of the specific shows, but what do you like the most? Is it that interaction, the improv stuff that you've done? Competitive comedy has been impressive. And to me, that looks like the part that would be the hardest. But for somebody like you.
Which part?
The competitive stuff. The, hey, you know, talk about this jacket he's got on, and now we're going to compete and go back and forth. You just got to go off the top of the head.
Yeah, that's more roasting. I don't do as much of that, but I can.
Okay.
You know, it's always good to have that tool in your back pocket, but.
You know, rap about the word pulse. Like, they just throw stuff at you.
Right.
And you go.
Yeah, so for me, it's I do love the improv space because I feel like that's where the most organic comedy comes from. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The industry itself, we've seen over the last several years, you've seen people who, as comedy continues to evolve, some people are taking it personally, rushing stages. Mm-hmm. Some people are then having issues about you can't say anything because you're concerned about people trying to shut you down. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about the industry as a whole? Growing in the right direction? Are we getting too restricted?
It's too restrictive. People need to lighten up and put their feelings in their back pocket.
Okay. Do you feel that? Do you see that people are getting too kind of hard on those types
of
things?
Oh, yeah. You can't say anything. I say whatever I want to say. But, you know, it's a very sensitive society that we're in. And it's hypocritical, you know. The things that people choose to tell you can't talk about, yet they run off and talk about whatever they want to talk about. So at this point, I don't write and produce comedy to placate anyone's feelings. I just write the truth. And if the truth hurts, you got them shoes on. Those are your shoes.
Okay. So it hasn't changed you. You're aware of what's going on in the
industry.
Yeah,
I'm aware. And I've always been respectful anyway, but at the end of the day, you're not gonna tell me what I can and can't say.
Okay. The social media, the evolution of social media. And I was over on your Instagram page and, you know, a couple million followers there, and that's just one location. Has it changed the fact that you now can just do it yourself? That you don't have to wait for the industry to do anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, on social media, we're competing with algorithms, so everyone doesn't really see what you're doing. So you have to kind of push through that and find your fan base and harness your core. But it's definitely doable. You can go direct to consumer now and bypass the middleman.
And that's changed how people have done stuff for the better, and particularly for the African-American community.
1,000%.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, that's why you have famous TikTokers, because whoever's on their page is now a fan of what they're doing, and they didn't go to any agency, any production company. They can just broadcast right to those people on their phone and make millions of dollars.
Yeah. So I need to get my numbers up, is what you're saying.
Do it all. Get your numbers up. Get your promo game up. You need, yeah, for sure.
Okay. And more people are starting to do that. Is it creating freedom?
1,000%. Anytime you don't have to go through a bunch of approvals and red tape to get your creative idea out, that's where the creative freedom lies.
I feel like we are challenged by not being able to talk about some of the specific things that are going on.
Right.
But generally speaking about that, do you expect this to end anytime soon? Are you hopeful?
I don't know what the timeline is going to be, but, you know, it's not going to stop anything I'm doing.
Okay, so you just keep going.
You have to.
Right.
Yeah, you have to.
We have, and we talked a little bit about the theme of this show, and you talked about the concept of using your voice, doing positive things with your voice. Mm-hmm. Whole theme of this show is use your voice for good.
Right.
When you hear that as a theme, what does that mean to you?
I think it means, as a journalist, you're aiming to not be like the rest of them that are just looking for clickbait, sound bites. It sounds like you are trying to do a show that is based in integrity. You know, that's the first thing I think about. But yeah, using your voice for good is uplifting people. Not trying to be destructive, not trying to do anything for shock value and at the expense of someone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I want to ask, and we're getting ready to wrap up, but as generally speaking as we can we ask what's next for you? I mean, you're on tour, and we just have to say secretly we got projects brewing.
Yeah, all I can say is I'm in a really great space, and there's a lot more on the way.
Okay. So can we say next time you're on tour, when hopefully this is settled, and we can speak on some of the specifics of it.
There's going to be a lot to talk about.
We got a lot to talk
about. Yes, indeed.
All right. And I didn't even ask you to do impressions, man.
Thank you. Thank you for not asking.
But that's one last question then. It's something that people know you for. It's something that people always talk about. Is it something that you still enjoy, or is it that person who has become the character? No, whenever anybody sees you, they want to talk about that one character.
Yeah, I do it when I feel like I want to do it. Because I've been on interviews before, and they'll try to prompt it and set me up to do it, right. And I just won't do it.
What do you think about Jay-Z?
Exactly, yeah. Right. And so, yeah, I just won't do it. But, yeah, I do so many other things that I'm not limited to just impressions. So, you know, it gets a little old sometimes, but I understand that it's also something that I've done well. And people enjoy it, so I can't be mad at them for wanting to see it.
Right. Just accept that there is more to the story.
Yeah, for sure. Right. And accept that I'm grown, and I do what I want when I want.
I'm grown.
Yeah, I'm grown.
I feel like that's the mic drop moment.
I'm grown.
So one last time, tell people when they can see you, where they can see you, what they're going to see as you continue on tour.
At this point,
Philly, South.
Yeah, I'm in Philly this weekend, Atlanta next weekend at the Comedy Theater. But yeah, just stay locked into my Instagram at Afion Crockett, my Facebook, Afion Crockett, TikTok is Afion Crockett Comedy. But yeah, just stay tuned into my social media and you'll see everything that I'm doing.
Yeah, it's a good follow.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with actor, comedian, hip-hop dancer, Afion Crockett, sharing some of his story. To me, honestly, the challenge or the interesting part of this particular interview is it shined a light on how challenging it is right now for some of these artists, performers, and entertainers in light of the strike that's currently taking place. As they stand in unity with people who are looking for higher wages or looking for more access. But that doesn't change any of the challenges that people still face in the industry with getting things produced, with getting access, with all of those different things, and especially challenging for folks who are doing independent stuff, trying to empower or change industry and still can't talk about. So it was a tap dance as we kind of got through some of the discussion. Look forward to Afion Crockett coming back when we can talk more about some of the big things that he says he has cooking. Want to ask you to do me a favor. Hit the top of your screen where it says subscribe or like or follow. Don't actually hit it unless it's a touch screen. You just kind of move the mouse up there. If it's a touch screen, then do that. But I don't want somebody sending me a message. They broke their screen because they hit it because I said so. Because I don't make the kind of money to be sending everybody new computers. But like, follow, subscribe, all of those good things so you get a notification every Monday when a new episode comes out. Also, head over to YouTube, search The Pulse with Bill Anderson, and check out some of the great guests that we've had over the 18 months plus that we now have been doing this show. Wow. You can also hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. Always interested in hearing from you. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.